I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the air.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode 162. I am Cheapy D, and I am back in Tokyo. Of course, we've got Wombat, who is reporting live from his burrow in Strong Island, New York. Wombat, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I always enjoy being a guest on your podcast.
Thank you, Wombat. And it's good to have you as a guest. As a guest, not as an equal.
No, but as a guest, I expect you to serve me.
Keep you're going to be waiting. And as a special surprise, maybe not so much of a surprise, we've got Ship to the Wreck coming live from his mansion somewhere in Cincinnati, Ohio.
It's where all the gaming happens.
It's where a lot. It's where 90% of Ohio's gaming happens, in Shipwreck's house. We call it the Fortress of Nerditude.
Is that what you call it?
I don't know. I call it Shipwreck's Mansion. So we're back from E3. Shipwreck and I are back from E3. Wombat is back from nowhere. And I got to say, I had a really good time this year. And I think for this show, what we're going to do is sort of the beginning of the show. We'll go over some show feedback and do some of our, you know, normal bits that we do. Then we're going to jump right into your questions regarding E3. So we're going to move the CAG bag into the middle of the show. And then if we didn't cover anything in your questions, we'll cover those in our normal Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo sections. And I think then we will have what you would call a E3 wrap-up show.
Yeah, don't pay attention to that last show.
Right. Well, the last show. Well, first of all, we're going to get into the last show because there's a lot of feedback about that last show.
There sure is.
Shipwreck, did you have a safe trip back home? Everything work out okay?
I did. I actually had a interesting story on the way home. Of course, I ran into Joe Berling from Destructoid a lot during the show, and it turns out he was from Cincinnati.
Right, that was a reoccurring theme of E3, is that everywhere we went, Joe Berling from Destructoid was there. Now, first of all, I'm going to have to make a little disclaimer before you get on with your story, Shipwreck.
Sure.
I do not want to be accused by our listenership of name-dropping during this episode, because if we start to tell stories about E3 and we don't include the people's names of the people who are involved in the stories...
Jon Snow.
It stops making sense. You know, if we say this guy and that guy, we have to say people's names. We're not name-dropping. We are giving you details for the story. Anyway, Shipwreck,
thanks
continue.
For the disclaimer. So what happened with that guy on the plane?
Oh, nothing happened with that guy on the plane, but it just so happened that he was on the same flight back, of course. But when I sat down in my seat, I'm not a big talker on planes. I pretty much just keep to myself and fall asleep usually. But I got out my OXM, started reading it, and the guy next to me, I was looking at a Mass Effect article, and he's like, oh, did you see that at the show? And so we had, like, little talk about that, whatever, and then, like, I introduced, like, hi, I'm Robert, I'm from Cheap Ass Gamer, and says, I'm John, he works for this company that does, like, not in-game advertising, but in-game product placement. So he was at the show because he was in charge of putting the T-Mobile Sidekick in Tony Hawk Ride.
Okay.
Nice.
But he actually, like, so we're sitting there talking for a while, and he's like, he tells me, like, he knows the site or whatever, and I'm like, you can never really tell, like, how much people actually, like, are telling the truth, or if they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard of Cheap Ass Gamer or whatever. But he starts telling me about how he got Punch-Out with the Amazon deal and the ECA membership discount and everything. And then all of a sudden he goes, wait a second, you're Shipwreck. And I was like, holy crap, like... That was, like, the first time, like, the whole trip that, like, really shocked me that somebody knew who I was.
Because you were,
like,
on
the rest
plane
of the time,
with
them. It's like, I'm next to this big white bald dude walking around E3. Like, people put two and two together. But, yeah, so we had a really interesting conversation the whole way home. I started asking, like, just how his business worked and, like, what are the things he's done and everything. But then I got into some stuff, like, I was like, so were there any proposals that were interesting that didn't go through? And he's like, you know that new Ghostbusters game? You know how the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, everybody, like, he's iconic and everything. Well, they were going to try to get some other iconic characters in there for the Ghostbusters to fight. So at one point, they had actually pitched Snap, Crackle, and Pop as enemies in Ghostbusters.
That didn't go through.
So awesome.
Didn't go through, no.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Peanut would have been a good one, too.
Yeah.
Right. I pitched my breakfast cereal characters fighting game idea to him. I don't know how serious he took me, though.
Mm. What is the name of his company?
Maybe you shouldn't give it out. You don't want to get him. Okay. Maybe he's not supposed to reveal that type of information.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you would help him drum up some business. I was trying to be helpful.
That's funny. He contacted me right after he got home, and I just wanted to mention, you know, this is, you know, not for nothing, but I'm drinking a delicious cold Coca-Cola right now. No, I'm not. I'm drinking water.
Yeah.
No brand name. We're probably all drinking water.
I am drinking water out of my X-Men Origins Wolverine cup that I got at 7-Eleven.
All right. I didn't have any fancy, you know, I didn't have any run-ins on the plane home. I take an Ambien and I try to knock myself out. It's the only way I can survive an 11-hour or 12-hour trip in coach, being 6'4". On the way to the show, it was so bad because there were like these European dudes sitting in front of me. And the guy put his seat back, all the way back, which just digs into my knees. And perhaps maybe not worse than that, but I can't even see the screen in front of me, you know, like the TV screen in the seat, because the angle is so off that it just looks like a blank screen. So yeah, I had to self-medicate on that trip. Anyway, we're gonna get more into E3. We did record a podcast last week from the Holiday Inn. Now, there's a lot of questions about this show. There's a lot of comments and questions. What the most popular question was, you're referencing that this is, you know, basically a video, but it's not a video. So people want to know what the hell happened. So a lot of things, everything that could have went wrong, went wrong. So we recorded this video, and it was basically 20 minutes of Shipwreck and I talking. We did this show into two parts. Like a jerk off, I recorded it in high definition. Now, why you need two nerdy guys sitting in a Holiday Inn talking about video games in high definition, I can't really answer that question. But I can tell you it makes the video infinitely larger, so, you know, size-wise, and more difficult to edit and render. And something happened where I could not get the audio from the video, because I recorded the audio separately with a microphone. Could not get the audio and video to sync up, and eventually I somehow got it all together, and there was just no way that I was going to be able to upload the video because the internet connection at the Holiday Inn was basically, I don't know, it was two pieces of string and a tin can, or two tin cans and a piece of string. So the video podcast became an audio podcast, and people didn't like that either. Now,
I can understand that.
I can understand that too. And if you listen to the CADcast, and I'm assuming you do, if you're commenting on the show, I believe I made it pretty clear, like, to not really expect anything from us.
I think you say that, but that people
don't believe
more.
It.
They want more.
They want more, and I understand that. My mom yelled at me for that. Actually, she said I should give the people more. And anyway, let me go through some of these comments. The first one is from Rick1000, and his subject is Unpleasant Show. Way to go, Cheapy. I really think you just go to E3 to smoke weed and buy cloths. I think he meant clothes. You could care less about the games. That's why you take Shipwreck with you to do the dirty work. The reason Wombat... Meanwhile, keep in mind that while I'm reading this question to you, this comment to you, I am correcting the grammar and spelling on the fly. And that's why you take Shipwreck with you to do the dirty work. The reason Wombat doesn't go is because he knows he would have to do all the work while you sit on your lazy ass smoking weed and jerking off to Tila Tequila. Now,
she's pregnant, you know.
She's what?
Pregnant.
Oh. Well, first of all, that's just completely ridiculous. There was no way she's I was pregnant. Downloading any porn on that internet connection. So any masturbation that I did had to come straight out of my imagination. Which is, now, I don't have much of an
sorely
imagination.
Sorely lacking. Yeah.
So it only happened, I think, once during the whole trip. second of all.
I was not in the room.
Shipwreck was not there. Second of all, I think Shipwreck knows, and this is Shipwreck's second trip with me to E3. And I think he realizes, and I think Wombat realizes this as well, that the trip for them and me is not as much about covering the show and, you know, writing articles and recording shit, as it is sort of a thank you for helping me with the site, doing a podcast for the site, which is a lot of work. And it's sort of a way that I can thank them with a free trip to E3, which is a fun trip. And it's nice for, it's a treat for me too, because instead of going by myself, I have someone who comes with me who basically has to hang out with me because I'm paying for their trip.
Well, way to just not say friend.
But I don't.
You said someone. You're a jerk. I think you should make an apology.
I don't think I did that, but if you say so. I mean, look, I've met Shipwreck twice. I mean, I consider myself friends with Shipwreck after those two meetings.
Well, thanks.
You know, what can I say? What am I supposed to... I didn't do that on purpose. So Rick, you know, this is not, you know, we've told you in advance what you're going to get, and that is basically, as you say, I mean, you hit it right on the head. I do go to E3 to smoke weed and buy cloths. And to eat good food. And Shipwreck gets to watch me do all of those things. He gets to eat the food, too.
Right, yeah. I don't say no to that.
He didn't say no to that. He didn't buy any clothing.
I didn't say no to the lobster.
He didn't. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Well,
I heard about that.
Yeah.
We're not a news site either. So.
It's not what?
It's not like we're not a news site either. It's not like people are coming to us to get their news.
No. The reason why I go, and I'm sure the reason why Shipwreck is interested in going, is that it helps us throughout the year when we do a podcast or anything, or just, you know, even posting deals, to know about all the games that are out there and that are coming out in the future. And, you know, it's like a game injection, a game knowledge injection, and a weed injection, if you injected weed, but you don't. But that's, you know, that's just me. I'm sorry you didn't like the show. Kid Vid says, gonna be hard to convince the wife you should go next year. Not sure why you went this year. Too bad you didn't leave your audio recording equipment in the cab this time, cheapy. And his favorite quote was, Shipwreck went to the Ubisoft event and I went to Macy's. Well, again, I told you that's what I was going to be doing. And I don't really need to convince my wife that I should go next year. She knows I'm pretty much going, and she's got to put up with it. Cronus is complaining. He says, so when Wombat and Shipwreck make a podcast, it's a CAG Play Forecast. When Cheapy and Ship makes one, it's a CAG Cast? I don't know. It makes it seem like Wombat is a disposable part of the CAG Cast crew. Hey, let me tell you something. Wombat was invited to come with us to E3. He had a full trip offered to him to come, all expenses paid, and, you know, he didn't want to come. What can I tell you?
Yeah, that's it. I didn't want to.
You didn't want. You decided that it wasn't in your best interest to come.
That's different.
How was your grandfather's wedding?
On Sunday.
It was really nice.
The one that was on Sunday?
Yes.
That one that was, you know, 3 days after E3?
It wasn't, but yes. Well, okay, so it was. But still, there were other things happened, actually, at the last, at the last minute, that kind of would have made the trip very difficult anyway.
Right, so. I think the most important thing being that how could you possibly prank phone call me at 5:30 in the morning if you were in Los Angeles?
Actually, yeah, that was 5 a.m. in the morning, not 5:30. I think I was a little earlier, but that was funny as hell, so.
It wasn't funny, actually.
Yeah,
I was pretty upset at that. I mean, you know, I'm traveling halfway around the world. There's a lot of jet lag, and it's difficult for me to sleep. Well, actually, I had so much weed in me, it really wasn't difficult for me to sleep.
nice try with the guilt trip.
previous years, it's been difficult. But weed is actually
It was funny, though, because I called you, and I said, hey. You're like, what do you want?
I'm
like,
how did my voice sound at that hour?
It was, hey, could you even what hear it? Was it?
My
I'm like, nothing. I just wanted to see what was up and how you were doing. And then you go, it's 5 a.m. And then you just hung up.
Right.
It was
awesome. My throat was pretty much scorched through the week. So my voice was extra deep. And I did a lot of talking. So it was sort of sore. You should have. The worst part, Wombat, is if you're gonna do that, you shouldn't do that. It's ridiculous and it's rude and it's everything bad. But if you're gonna do it, why the hell would you not record it?
Because I was at work.
Well, you're a jerk off.
Yeah, probably.
It's very stupid.
If I wanted to do it from home, it would have been. Actually, it may have actually still been awake because it probably would have been about 3 o'clock in the morning your time.
All I want to say is that 5 a.m. your time in New York, Wombat, is 6 p.m. my time. So why don't you just think about that? Think about myself about to sit down to dinner thinking, hey, maybe I'll give Wombat a call, see what's going on.
I should see how he's feeling.
Yeah, I wonder if he's okay, if he's having a good night's sleep. Let me just check in. And maybe I'll fire up Skype so I can record it.
There you go.
All right, some more comments quickly. Spoo said, I made a suggestion during the last podcast that it would be nice that if people who had media badges had access to a kiosk for each game, so they wouldn't have to wait on an hour line. It would just make things easier for people, so they wouldn't have to set up appointments back to back and run around with a chicken with their head cut off. Spoo said, I laughed so hard at that media press line for everything idea since you do so much press coverage at E3. Why do you deserve to cut in front of everyone else that is doing the same as you two at E3? No, see, that's the point. They're not doing the same as us at E3. These are people who, you know, just they managed to get into. If you don't have a media pass, it means that you just managed to get into the show by the skin of your teeth, which means that you worked at Best Buy at some point in your life, or you work for a company that sounds like it could be possibly related to the game industry. You know, it's very easy to get a media press badge as well. You know, if you have any website at all, you can get one. And so they would have access to the same theoretical line. It's just it's a little constructive criticism, that's all. I'm not saying that we're better than, you know, anyone else who's there to sort of cover the event. And just because we don't cover the event the same way that everyone else does during the week of E3 doesn't mean that we don't reference that knowledge later in the year. Last piece of feedback here. SPDP really got it. He said, it made me realize E3 to Cheapy is more like his alone time. Well, alone's not really the right word. But anyway, he says it pretty much is an excuse for him to go to the U.S. and do whatever. If it's not for that, it's for him to feel as part of the industry, which in reality, he doesn't even need to be a gamer, and his site would still be popular. I mean, we really rarely get anything out of his trips to E3 besides a mention or two on the CadCast, so cheapassgamer.com doesn't benefit at all from it. Well, you know. And then he says, I know he said to keep our expectations low, but he should just say he's going to E3 for him and not the website. Well, I do say that. I've always said that. And it is, you know, a networking opportunity for me as well and for Shipwreck. Shipwreck gets to meet different PR people and get games for review so he can write up 3/4 of a review and never post it. And for me, mm-hmm. I get to meet other people in the industry and, you know, kiss babies and shake hands. So that's the feedback. I'm sorry that you didn't like the show, but, you know, it should just sort of be a lesson to all of us that it's not easy just to go somewhere, turn on a microphone, and talk for an hour or so and have it be interesting. You know, I guess 11:30 at night in a hotel room after a day of running around and talking.
And drinking.
Although I was not drunk or high during any of those recordings, I just like to say. It's difficult. So there it is, Shipwreck. Did I cover that okay, you think? Was that accurate?
Yeah, I think you did a good job. We're only two people. We're not a team of 15 guys.
Joystick sent 20 people and Kotaku sent 4,000 people. No, they sent less, I think. But still, you know, look, I feel bad for those guys because they are working, you know, really working their ass off the show. And, you know, like I say, I do go there to eat good food. I go there to indulge in some smoking activities and to just have fun. I'm sorry. That's why I go. And I've never said otherwise. So, okay, that's enough of that.
I think the horse is dead now. You can stop.
The horse is dead. Mrs. Shipwreck can go to sleep. She doesn't have to stay on call anymore. Let's do some quick things here, and then we'll get right to your questions. Some CAG news-ish. At this very moment, I am looking at the CAG game trading engine. It is actually up on the site right now, although you probably don't know where to find it because there's no nav link to it. But it is looking very good, and by the time that you listen to this, I'm hoping and I'm thinking that if you are a beta tester, you will have access to it. Although there are things that need to be changed with it, some improvements need to be made. It does look pretty awesome. It is very impressive. you know, one cool, a lot of things that I didn't expect. One of them is that if you set up a trade with somebody, if you have like a, if you make an offer on somebody's game, you can, there's like a page set up, a status page of that trade, and you can have a live chat with that person right on CAG. And you see a little avatar and you have a chat, and all the whole chat history is saved as a part of that trade status. So you can go back and review the status in case there's any, you know, discrepancy about, you know, who agreed to what. It's all very neat. It's going to be great. So just a little more patience is all we need. Let's do some new releases, then some game shopping news, and then right to the E3 CAG bag and Twitter festival. New releases, Shipwreck, this is your time to shine. You're all about the new releases.
Okay, big one this week, Prototype. We saw that peeking in a door at E3.
That's right. It looked good.
It looked fine. Have there been any reviews out? I didn't check today.
I saw there was one review.
Yeah, the only one I saw was on GamePro, and it was a good review.
Okay, here, yeah, there's one. I'm looking at on Game... What the hell is this? Metacritic. GamePro gave it a 90... PGNX Media, which I never heard of, gave it a 95, and Cheat Code Central gave it a 98.
Wow.
So that's, I don't know, it could be good. I'm looking forward to that, even though I'm playing Infamous right now, which is sort of a similar type of game.
It is.
Yeah, Infamous
we can talk
looks
about that
slightly
later.
Better to me. Yeah. Also this week, there's the Tiger Woods PGA Tour. I looked at that briefly at E3 with the new Wiimote controls. It looks like it worked fine.
Mm-hmm.
The new Indiana Jones game for the Wii and the PS2 and the DS.
That's weird. How come that's not coming out for any next-gen consoles?
Because it was designed for the Wii.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
And it has, Fate of Atlantis on it too, right?
On the Wii version, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Virtua Tennis 2009. I know you like that, Cheapy.
Yes, I'm a big fan of that. I forgot to order that, though. God, there's a lot of games coming out.
Yeah, they've been coming pretty heavy here recently.
And that's the one thing I took away from E3. There's a lot of things I took away from it, but one of the things is that there are a lot of great games coming out.
Yeah, I didn't see hardly anything that was just terrible at E3.
Right.
And then for the DS, that legendary Starfy comes out. I put that briefly.
Is that
at the
how
Nintendo
you pronounce it? I thought it was Starfy.
I pronounce it Starfy.
He's from Ohio. There's a lot of weird.
I say Starfy.
Pronunciation.
It's Starfy. Whatever.
He's cute. It's a Starfy, not a Starfy.
Okay. Yeah, it's a cute little like Kirby like platforming game, and that's pretty much it.
We should mention that, you know, with Tiger Woods 10. And Grand Slam Tennis, those are two Wii Motion Plus games, and, right, Tiger Woods is, right? Definitely.
Yeah, both of those are.
And so Wii Motion Plus is coming out this week.
Yes.
But not
as well as,
Wii Sports Resort.
Rock Band. No, yeah, Wii Sports Resort, not this week.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
You think they'd have
but
that
Rock Band Unplugged for the PSP is.
Okay. Okay, so that's good for the new releases. Let's do some quick game shopping news. I wanted to mention this GameStop music blowout sale where they've just basically taken all their old inventory of Guitar Hero and Rock Band. Not all, but a lot of Guitar Hero and Rock Band games bundles are on sale at GameStop, and they're really cheap. Like, you can get a Rock Band 2 bundle with all the instruments and everything for $95 with free shipping, which is basically half price. And we're giving away, because GameStop sponsored this on CAG, we're giving away 5 $100 GameStop gift cards. So just go to the front page of CAG and you'll see how you can enter the contest right there. And best of the Sunday ad deals. Let's see what we got here. Toys R Us has got a buy one, get one 50% off sale on all DS games. And they've got a ton of games with gift cards. Giving away gift cards, including $20 gift cards with Prototype, which is a pretty good deal for a game that's coming out this week, and $10 gift cards with Red Faction and Infamous, two games we're going to be talking about later in the show. And Saints Row's got my favorite game. Best Buy's got my favorite game, Saints Row 2, for $30, and same with Call of Duty 4, Game of the Year edition. And Target's got buy two, get one free on all PS3, PS2, and PSP games that aren't on sale. Woo! All right. So now, I think we can do our E3 CAG bag.
It's very exciting. Should I ask the questions since they're all directed at you and Chipwreck?
No, but you can. I'll ask the questions, but you can chime in. I'll throw it to you, Wombat. Don't worry. Because it's interesting to see, and something I want to talk about, actually. Maybe I'll talk about this now before we get to these questions. I think Shipwreck and I both agreed that, you know, now that there's plenty of places where someone at home can download or even stream high-definition videos of games, it seems like, you know, some of the glamour, not maybe not glamour is not the best word, but maybe usefulness of E3 is sort of... of being at E3 has been erased, because it's certainly a lot easier and more comfortable just to go on game trailers and stream high definition video. And a lot of times when you get a demo of a game, even behind closed doors, you're not allowed to play the game. You're just watching somebody demonstrate it for you. So I think as someone sitting at home, Wombat, in a lot of ways, you can even see more stuff than we can, because you don't have to make appointments. You don't have to run around. You just have to click.
Yes, there's some game footage and things that I know that I saw that you didn't even get to see.
Right. And we kept saying that, like, Shipwreck, that was an ongoing theme for Shipwreck and I as we walked around the show. It's like, all right, well, wait, well, you know, we'll see that on game trailers, or we'll see that, you know, on the internet somewhere. I mean, even the press conferences you can watch on the internet. So anyway, let's jump into these questions here. Gunham brings out the big guns right away. He wants to know what our game of the show was. And Wombat, you can answer this too. And he also wants to know what was the biggest game disappointment or your biggest letdown of the show. So as someone sitting at home, Wombat, what game did you think was the best game of the show?
You know, there were two games that surprised me. So I'm gonna throw it to them, because I wasn't expecting those games to look as good as they do. And one would be the new Splinter Cell, Conviction.
Okay.
And the other would be Just Cause 2.
I just watched that Just Cause 2 video on 1UP, and that looks crazy good.
I know. I played very little of the first one. I think there was a demo, and that's all I ever played.
Yep, me too. And it was good. It was fine, but it wasn't very polished.
Yeah, and I know there are some people that love that game, and it actually makes me want to find that game cheap and pick it up.
It is cheap.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying, I just need to find it and grab it.
Right.
But that looks like it would be like a hell of a good time between the grapple hook and the base jumping and the parachute on command.
And the two hooks where you can hook two objects together.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great ideas in that game where if they can execute it in a good way that's not frustrating.
Right.
It could be one of the best games to come out this year. And Splinter Cell, I just love the complete 360, no pun intended, from where that game was in 2007, where they got crushed at E3. And they looked at it and they saw how good Assassin's Creed did, and they said, you know what, we're going to just start over again.
They got crushed, the Splinter Cell Conviction?
Yeah, they showed it in 2007 at E3, Splinter Cell Conviction.
2007 or 2008?
No,
no, it was 2007. It's okay. When he was all emo.
Yeah, and he had long hair and a beard, and everyone on the internets basically slammed it and said that it looks like crap.
Okay.
And it might have been crap, because they are not releasing the game that they showed in 2007. And I love that whole mission objectives cinematic style where it projects on the wall. I thought that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in a game ever. So that's the other reason why it gets... my pick. So
that's your pick? Or it's a tie between that and Just Cause?
Right now it's a tie between those two, just because they were big surprises. And, you know, I think there's probably other things, other games I could talk about also that I thought looked great. But I'll let you guys go, because you probably have different games. And then we can
I just want to say that I honestly do think that as someone sitting at home and, you know, checking everything out, that your opinion is probably just as valid as anybody else's who went to the show. I mean, maybe you didn't get to see some stuff like Project Natal or whatever. But I don't know. Are there videos of that out anywhere?
Yeah. I saw the press conference.
The press conference showed it. I mean, yeah. So I think
and I saw people playing it. I saw as a Felicia Day playing it behind closed doors, and some skateboarder playing it behind closed doors.
What about Biggest Letdown?
What was my biggest let? There was, I mean, there wasn't really any game that I was expecting to see footage of that they showed, and I was like, eh. I mean, nothing. Okay. I would say was a huge letdown.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, because it's kind of a loaded question. Because okay, there are certain things that I saw that I didn't know existed that didn't really interest me, but I wouldn't call that a letdown.
Okay, you can think about it if you want while Shipwreck tells what his favorite of the Best in Show was.
Well, I think my favorite was Mass Effect 2, but close second was probably The Saboteur.
Okay.
Which I thought was, it's the new Pandemic game where it's kind of open worldy. You're it's World War II based, but you're a Irish immigrant in France, in occupied France.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go around and free all the little territories, and they change from this black and white, this really cool black and white aesthetic, into color as you free them. And it really looks like menacing when you look off in the distance, and they showed this level where there was a big Zeppelin off in the distance. And the scope of it was just really nice. Did they say that was coming out this year?
They didn't. I don't think they answered.
I don't think they answered that question.
They said it was an early build, I remember.
Yeah, they said it was alpha, and it looked pretty good. I mean, they could tighten up the combat a little bit because you could go at it either stealth or just go in and start shooting everybody. And it got a little bit Mercenaries type, where there was just wave after wave of Nazis that he was killing for a while.
Right, right. I mean, well, first of all, you should mention that it's a third-person shooter mm-hmm. or action game. Yeah, the guy demoing the game, he was trying to go in stealthy, and he crashed into the gate and took the gate off, and then everybody started attacking him. And there were so many enemies, like, it was going to take him just forever. And I could see that being pretty annoying. You don't need, like, you know, enemy after enemy slowing you down. Yeah, that did look cool. I will. Do you have a disappointment or biggest letdown?
I can't really, like I said before, everything looked really solid that we saw. Besides stuff that I didn't think was going to look solid.
Yeah, I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah, that
by
is
really
exactly
anything.
What I was exactly what I said. It's not that there was anything that was a letdown, but you know, things that I kind of had a feeling I wouldn't be interested in, I'm still not interested in.
Right. Understood.
Right.
My Best in Show, I think I'm going to have to go, well, okay, first of all, Best in Show, I'm going to do Best Out of Show, and then I'll do Best in Show.
Was it the pants he bought at Macy's? Was that the Best in Show?
No, Best in Show, there's a tie. Okay, there's a tie for Best in Show, or Best Out of Show. 5-pound lobster at the Palm was pretty awesome. I got him.
It was good.
Ship and I split a 5-pound
lobster. Did
you get
the cottage fries to go with it?
No fries. We got a shrimp cocktail, and this is great. We ordered a shrimp cocktail, right? And
they charge you by the shrimp there, you know.
What's that?
They charge you by the shrimp.
Okay, so they brought it out, and it was great. It was awesome. And you know, these are two things that I really can't get in Japan. I mean, you can get shrimp in Japan, but not like this. They don't taste like this. But you can't get lobster. Certainly not a 5-pound lobster. So they bring out the shrimp, and the shrimp were awesome. They were great. Then we're eating, you know, there's like 5 shrimp on the plate or something like that. So we're eating the shrimp, and, you know, it's just awesome. And I'm thinking, maybe we should order some oysters. And as I'm thinking that, the manager comes over with another plate of shrimp. And he says, guys, those shrimp look a little on the small side to me, so I just wanted to bring you out another plate. And it was pretty much the best thing that ever happened to me.
That is pretty awesome. That actually trumps my, because I was going to try and trump your story with my own lobster story, but that was actually pretty good.
That was pretty amazing. And the shrimp were awesome. So, and then they brought out the 5-pound lobster, the claw. You know, if I hit you in the head with this claw, you would be unconscious.
Like, Grandpa's wedding was a clam bake.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was basically all the lobsters you could eat. They were about 1¼-pound lobsters, but mm-hmm. when you have 4 of them, then it kind of makes up for the size.
Right, right. Yeah,
as well
this
as
just
were,
like impressive.
Yeah, and also a big, like a big, basically a bathtub full of shrimp cocktail.
That is awesome. I wish I did bring my camera to the restaurant, but I forgot I left the memory card in the hotel room. So I regret not having a picture of the best out of show lobster. But I bet you I can find a picture of a fine 5-pound lobster somewhere and post it.
Well, you know, you go to the Palm website. I mean, there's so many of those these days. I think there's Palm restaurants now.
60?
Six Palms. One in LA, one in Vegas, three in New York, and
I was
going to
say there was a tie between 5-pound lobster and giant bag of weed. And I think that's pretty accurate. I did have a giant bag of weed, and it was a challenge to get through it by the end of the show. But I did, as Shipwreck can attest to, I did a pretty good job, and I wound up only throwing out a very small amount when I left on Friday.
Yeah, Mom would been proud.
Yeah, I didn't waste
Queen
that
plate
much.
Club. You also had a sweatshirt of show.
Oh, I had best sweatshirt of show. I did buy at Macy's. I did buy a sweatshirt. It was very cold there. And I bought a brand name sweatshirt, which I never do, just because I don't know about you guys, but I hate going clothing shopping, and I just want to get the hell out of there. So I bought a Mark Echo. He made a video game, that guy.
He did, Getting Up.
Getting Up, and I bought a Mark Echo sweatshirt, and that was best of show sweatshirt.
Was it the one that looks like a stormtrooper? Because that one's kind of badass.
Nah, it was, I don't know, it was sort of weird. Look, it fit me, and I was like, all right, I'm buying it. That was pretty
If you see any pictures of Cheapy at the show, he's going to be wearing that sweatshirt.
I wore it pretty much every day. And I bought two pairs of pants and I bought a pair of jeans and cargo pants. I forgot to buy socks and underwear. And I did take a big dump at Macy's, which was that was best dump of show, definitely. But it wasn't that comfortable because it was at Macy's.
That's excellent.
My best game of show, I'm going with Shipwreck Mass Effect 2. I don't think I was high for that, but I felt like I was. I should have been, because it was so good. They show this one scene. I guess I could say what it is. Did they say we shouldn't say that? We shouldn't mention that? I think it's okay. I won't go into detail.
It's a spoiler, but I'm sure it's out there by now.
I'll leave out the spoiler detail part. There's
should
a scene
I say
where
what
you're...
you think it is, and then...
Okay, go ahead.
There, it wouldn't be a. You wouldn't be breaking anything. Is it when they allude to the fact that you're supposed to be dead?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. There's a scene where you're on a spaceship, and when you're on this ship, and the ship is being blown apart, basically, while you're on it, and there's a certain point where you walk through a door, and the room that you're walking into is totally. This room has been blown apart, so there's no real roof to the room. So the roof is just in, you know, space is right there. And you just, like, the whoosh of the space, and it's just, I don't know, the whole experience of walking into a room that's half exposed to space, it was just, like, jaw-droppingly incredible. Plus, they
took a little bit out of that from Dead Space, I would guess. Because Dead Space definitely had some moments like
that,
too.
They did that. And they've seemed to improve... you know how good the conversations were in the first one. Now they have the conversations going in like scenes where you're moving around. So they showed a scene where you're in a small spaceship flying around and you're talking to somebody. And it looks, I mean, it's so cinematic. It's just, it's amazing. I can't wait for that game. It's going to be great.
You know what other game I liked, which I guess deserves a mention?
What's that?
Mod Nation Races.
That is the PlayStation one?
That is the PlayStation, yes. The unofficial next step in the Little Big Planet ilk, I guess.
Right.
I think that game looks really good, so...
I don't know. I think I snoozed through that part.
You probably did. You should watch it. You should watch that demo again, because I think it looks like it could be a lot of fun, and I like the way they're going with customization in this game as opposed to how they did it last year, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm trying to think if there's any other best out of show or in show. Oh, best blunt of show goes to Carlos. Thank you, Carlos. That was pretty awesome. I think that's it. If anything else comes to me, I'll mention it. Gundam had some more questions. He wanted to know if we had hands-on time with Microsoft and Sony's motion control peripherals. And if so, what were your impressions? I think I touched on this on the last show, but I'm pretty sick of motion controllers. In fact, you could say I have motion sickness because I'm not convinced already that this is
that
really
was not funny in any way at all.
I thought it was funny.
No, that's the kind of thing that your mother would go, oh, that's clever.
Right. Well, okay. So one person enjoyed it. I'm still not convinced that motion control is a viable form of controlling a video game. And I know that the Wii has made their bread and butter doing it, but, you know, I don't play any of those games. I'm not interested in any of those games. And until I see a real game that uses, you know, Sony's wand or Microsoft's Natal or however you pronounce that stupid thing, then I don't really care about it. I think it's, you know, it's both of these companies trying to find ways to cock block the Wii. I don't think either of them really give a shit about it. They just want, their goal is for when a customer walks into a store, they look at the Wii and they say, oh, but these two machines also have motion control. Maybe I'll buy that instead. That's the whole goal. They don't really think that it's going to be better, a better way of controlling your games than than two analog sticks and a bunch of buttons. They're just trying to be disruptive. And I think it's, you know, until I see a real game using these things, I don't give two shits about it. I think it's all a bunch of crap, frankly.
To answer Gunham's question, no, we did not get hands-on time with either of these.
We didn't get any hands-on time. And I don't give a shit, because they're not showing any games. They're showing tech demos. And tech demo, you're not going to go to a store and buy a tech demo.
Yeah, it was really for the USA Today headlines.
It was exactly. And to be disruptive and to try to take some of Nintendo's pie. And, you know, it's let me know how you're going to play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 on that, and then we'll talk.
You know, see, this is what I was thinking, is how would I use the motion controller more probably for Project Natal than the Sony one? Like, what would I do and how would I incorporate it to make it viable for a game like a Call of Duty? What I was thinking even more like, say, Fallout 3.
Okay.
And this is how I could see it working, where you don't use it instead of a controller. You could use it with your controller, where you could be in the wasteland and say you want to pull out your Pip-Boy. That's when you wave your hand across the screen, and you could adjust your menus and your maps and your inventory using motion controls. And I can see that being cool, useful,
okay,
and actually a little more seamless. That to me seems like it would be awesome. Like, oh, you're in the wasteland, you're using your controller, and you realize that your shotgun's almost out of ammo and you better switch over to your machine gun. So you wave your hand across the screen, menu comes up, you drag your one gun out of your dude's hand, you drag the new gun in, you pull up your map and you point to the waypoint you want to go to, and it sets it, then you wave your hand back and you're back to the game with your controller in your hand.
Well, here's the million-dollar question. You know, obviously, they're not giving away these cameras for free, and do you think a developer is going to go through the trouble of adding all this functionality into a game when not everybody's going to have the camera?
Well, I think it's also the kind of thing where if you use it in the type of way that I just said it, it could be an either or.
I hear you, but will they go through the trouble and expense of putting that into a game?
Definitely not. Unless it, of course, comes standard with the 720.
Okay. So I think that answered this question. Gunham had some more questions. He wanted to know, which company had your favorite booth, and what, if any, show swag did you pick up? Ship, you want to answer this one?
Favorite booth had to be Sony.
Yeah.
They just had the best layout where you could get to everything. It was very clear what games were showing on what devices. Like, the Nintendo booth was probably a close second, but the DS section was horrible because you actually had to walk up to the DSs to see what game was on it.
You had to look at the table that the DS was on. There was no sign that you could see from without standing 1 foot away from it.
Right. So the Sony booth, you could walk through it easily.
Big and open, and a ton of games, and a ton of games that you would be interested in playing.
Right. Yeah, a lot of playable stuff. I mean, that's got to be your favorite booth.
Yeah, no question. And the Microsoft booth was... Microsoft usually has really good booths at this thing. This was the worst booth that I've ever seen them have. It was this round thing where you had to walk along the entire outside of the booth to see anything. So it was just really silly. I don't know who designed that thing. It didn't seem like they had as many games as Sony, but that could just be the way the booth was designed.
Right. They had big open spaces in their booth too. Like you'd walk into a certain part of this curved structure and there would be nothing there.
Right. Just carpet.
Yeah. I didn't get that at all. As far as swag, the best swag was from that Windows 7 event that we went to.
Oh yeah, that was good. We went to you know, Nelson and Chris.
Yeah, and... we all know you got Sidewinder mouses. You talked about it last week.
Okay,
yeah,
we got free mouses and a copy of Windows 7.
I got
7.
Some we didn't get a ton of swag. I mean,
nah.
I got a couple t-shirts that I'll give away on CAG 4 Play. We got some Uncharted codes that we'll give away later.
How many codes did you get?
I'm just kind of looking around my room right now. Oh, I got a DS case from Penguin Unlimited. Holds his little DS cartridges. That was nice.
Like Penguin, the clothing manufacturer Penguin?
No. Penguin, the accessory manufacturer.
Oh, okay. Because that would be cool.
I'm not a big swag guy. Like, I don't look to take home a lot of stuff. I did get a shirt from Furious Gamer, which is the iPhone podcast, game podcast app where you can listen to the CADcast and other shows. I think that's all I took home. And, the mouse and the Windows 7 release candidate disc. Which booth had the hottest booth babes? I didn't even really notice.
The only booth babes I really noticed, and it was because they were nasty, was the Dirt 2 booth babes. They had mud caked all over them. It was just, ugh.
Tokyo Game Show has so many more booth babes that I didn't even think there were booth babes at this show. I didn't even notice them. I noticed like a couple of nurses at Atlas. And
Yeah, the Atlas ones were pretty noticeable. Bayonetta, the Sega booth. I almost don't consider her a booth babe, but rather just like a character type of person. Like,
right.
I don't know. There's a difference there between just girls that are like trying to look pretty or girls that are actually advertising your game, like stuff from it within your game.
Okay, let me go to the next set of questions here. This is a really good one, and Shipwreck and I think both totally agree with this guy's statement, and probably Wombat too. Infneon says, after watching the Microsoft press conference, I was a bit miffed off with the current state of additional and downloadable content. The two map packs for Modern Warfare 2 is great and all, but announcing DLC 6 months before the game is even out? That doesn't sit well with me at all, and feels like the content is just being held back from the retail disc. I bet the first pack will be out within a month of the game shipping. Yeah, I mean, when at the Microsoft press conference, I mean, you missed something even bigger than that, my friend. When at the very start of the Microsoft press conference, they did this whole thing about Rock Band Beatles for like 20 freaking minutes, which was about 15 minutes too long. They talked about Rock Band Beatles, and one of the things they announced was that you're going to be able to download full albums, full Beatles albums, and they even said that there's going to be, I think you'll be able to download Abbey Road within the first week that the game is out. Is that what they said? Was it week or month?
No, I think it's the following week.
Following week. Within the next week, you're going to be able to download a whole other album. Now, the game only ships with 45 songs, which is pretty light for a Rock Band game. So now they're basically bragging that, hey, you know that you just spent $250 on that bundle or $60 on the game? Well, guess what? You can give us another $15 to $20 if you want to buy this album, which obviously we could have included on this disc, but, you know, we are a capitalist swine.
With the Abbey Road album, you if you can't play the second side of the album or however they would track it on Rock Band as one continuous song without a break, then I don't want it anyway.
I hope they would do that. I mean, they take this shit pretty seriously, so.
I was going to say, because that's, I mean, it really, I mean, that's the way that that's meant to be played and listened to is as
right,
one.
Right, all as one long thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that really pissed me off. And I think during the actual press conference, Ship and I both looked at each other when they announced that. And we're like, oh, great, thanks for the honor that, that's such a great feature that you're allowing us to give you more money a week after we just bought a brand new game.
And we will.
Well,
people are going to buy it. So, yeah, you know, I know. That's the way of the world. Welcome to Video Games 2009. I know it's you know, not what I want to say or want to hear, but that's the way it is. And I don't know what else to tell you because we could sit here all day and all night and say, well, then, you know, say it with your wallet. But people are. So it continues to happen. And that's the end of it.
It is. It sucks. It sucks. And as Infineon says, I think the whole thing stinks, and I'm rapidly going off DLC content. Yeah, DLC was invented just not to make gaming better, but to make more money. I don't think it's really done much to improve gaming. Frisky Tanuki, and this is a question for you, Wombat. Was the Bring It Home campaign for special E3 demos on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network a huge failure this year? At most, there was a Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation Network and Overlord 2 demo, which isn't very much at all. What do you say, Wombat?
They didn't really do anything. I mean, all you had was the ability to watch the press conferences, and that was about it. And they didn't hype it or promote it either. So,
what site did you think was the best? Like, what site did you go to get your?
I actually checked out Giant Bomb a lot.
Okay.
Because they had bullet points, which for an idiot like me works.
That's good.
Yeah, and some good videos. And when the press conference lives, like the live blogging, I went to Joystick for.
So, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me that there were some downloadable games out this week.
Oh, like
the
what?
New releases. Gunstar Heroes is coming to 360 and PlayStation Network.
Cool.
That's a good one. And the Mario versus Donkey Kong mini something, that came out as well. Okay. For the DSi.
All right. Frisky also wanted to know if there are any interesting games that were shown or announced at E3 that you don't think any of the big sites paid any or enough attention to. Wombat, this is probably another good question for you.
Yeah, I mean, again, I thought I would have liked to have maybe seen a little more of Mod Nation Races. I think looks very interesting to me. And it looks like they actually had some footage. They showed some real demos of that. So, you know, unlike some other things where all you had was a picture, at least there was something to talk about.
It's hard for me to answer because I didn't really look at any other sites for coverage.
And that one, I don't think it was just on the show floor. So that might have been behind closed doors that they were showing that, because
I'm not sure.
I certainly didn't notice it.
Yeah, all right. I mean, did they have any footage of Crackdown 2, or was it just the title?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean,
just a CG movie.
Yeah, I mentioned Just Cause, but I think the word's getting out about that now. And
yep.
And what else would there be? I mean, yeah.
How was the coverage on Pinball Hall of Fame?
Shipwreck was really excited about that.
I know. Well, he loved the first one.
All right, let me move on here. There's a lot of questions to get through, a lot of E3 stuff to talk about. Mole Man says, have you heard anything about Natal not working with black people? I quite honestly find it to be hilarious. What do you think about it? And what was the most appealing thing you had seen at E3? I did try to search for that when I saw your question. I think that was a mistake. I think that was, I don't know, I think it does work with black people. And if it doesn't, I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot
pole. It's on this website called Cheap Ass Gamer. I read about this.
Yeah, I read it too, but it seems to be like a not true.
I think it's a lighting issue. I don't think it's a dark person issue.
Speaking of black people, I have a good story for you.
Please tell. I can't wait for the comments.
I guess this was no, this is not. This is going to be good. This is going to be the feel good story of the year. On Thursday, which is the last day of the show. I had to get that podcast up, I had to bring my laptop to the convention center because there was no way to upload from the Holiday Inn. So after I had finished that, I had a little bit of time between the next appointment, which was Bayonetta at 2:00. So I went back to the hotel room, drop off the laptop, you know, and to make a further dent in my giant bag of weed. So as I'm leaving the hotel and I'm all jacked up and I'm late for, I'm pretty much, you know, running behind for our 2:00 appointment. I leave the hotel and I walk by these two guys. And one of the guys, you know, says to me, hey, you're GPD, which was an ongoing occurrence at the show. A lot of people, you know, stopped to say hello. And, you know, this gentleman happened to be a black guy. And he says, hey, man, I just wanted to let you know that your fish sandwich comment, that whole fish sandwich thing really, you know, turned me off to your show. Now, I was very high when I was talking to this guy. And I I really didn't even know what he was talking about for a minute. And then I realized quickly, and you know, that was the comment that I made. Wombat was telling a story about how a homeless person or somebody asked him to buy them a fish sandwich at Wendy's, and I asked Wombat if the person was black. So I wound up talking to this guy for like 10 minutes, trying to explain to him that I'm not a racist asshole, that I was merely trying to get some more details out of Wombat, and that I can, you know, I understand your pain, and I can understand why you could be offended by that.
Understand his pain?
Not his pain, but I understand why, as a black person, you could be offended by that. And, you know, I tried to make nice with the guy. And, of course, I'm doing this all, you know, after I just smoked the giant joint by myself not 5 minutes earlier. And I think I did a pretty good job of convincing him that I'm not an asshole, which I don't know if he'll come, because he said he won't listen to the show anymore. He said he turned off the show when he heard that, and he hasn't listened since. So I wound up being actually late to the appointment, trying to get back that one listener, Wombat. So I thought you would appreciate me working very hard to set the record straight for everybody.
Or
for
this one guy. That you're not a racist.
That I'm not racist. I don't know if I convinced him.
I doubt it, but thanks for trying.
I did try. Let's see. Blue Raven says, wants to know which FPS we were most excited to see demoed, MAG or Modern Warfare 2? I don't know, the Modern Warfare 2 demo, which we saw at the Microsoft thing, was, you know, 10 minutes of ice climbing and then 1 minute of shooting. I don't think that was a particularly good demo. Meg?
You forgot the 1 minute of wandering around in foggy snow.
A lot of fog and not being able to see. And, you know, riding on a snowmobile, shooting a pistol like you're a gangster. The side style.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty weird to see. And then you got Meg, which... I don't know. I used to think that, you know, more people in an online game equals better. But
I've never believed in that theory.
I know. That ship has sailed for me a long time ago. And I don't know.
I'll take 4-on-4 or 5-on-5 over 256 any day of the week.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that this game is going to be, that's not just going to be like the gimmick of the game, that it's so many people and that it's going to be, you know, anything outstanding.
I'll pick it up once I see that it's going to have legs of some sort. Like, my fear with that game is that you buy it the first week, you play it for a week or two, and then everybody no longer plays MAG.
And they come out with new map packs within 4 weeks after the game comes out, and you don't want to spend any more money, and now that audience is even further divided and diluted.
I have a feeling
that... But Modern Warfare 2 does look awesome.
I should just be calling MAG Respawn the game.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting Modern Warfare 2. So I guess I would say I was more excited to see Modern Warfare 2. I mean, I was most excited to see Bag of Weed, really. But
were you surprised that Modern Warfare 2 wasn't like everywhere for Activision? Like,
because it's coming out this year.
Yeah, I just assumed going into the show that would just be like everywhere you turned, you would see a kiosk for Modern Warfare 2. But it was only behind closed doors, right?
Yeah, I didn't see it. I didn't
know. Who are they really? Who do they need to promote this game to there? I mean, I'm sure the major retailers have already put their orders in for it.
Everybody's buying it. It's going to sell millions of copies. Yeah. Shipwreck got to see me demo weed a lot. How'd that work out for you?
It looked like that was a lot of fun.
Shipwreck kept telling me.
It was more of a single player experience than a multiplayer.
Well, sometimes you watch other people play.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, it was a good spectator sport. I got some smells that I had to wash off my clothes when I got home. So that was fun.
Shipwreck, I would cough, and Shipwreck would tell me that I was doing it wrong, which I thought was nice. Was funny.
Well, you know, he's so easy rider once.
What's that?
He's so easy rider once, so he knows how to do it.
Right. I don't even think he saw Easy Rider.
Probably not.
No, I haven't.
It did. He every time, you know, he would walk into my room, and it would just, you know, the smell was pretty.
I had to wait for people to pass by in the hallway before I would walk into his room.
Like, and I wasn't even
there
smoking.
Was this older couple.
It was just from
no,
the
it
bag.
Wasn't, you were just smoking. Yeah,
the bag was pretty intense. It was a pretty intense smell. I mean, and you couldn't. It was in a Ziploc bag, but it would not be contained. Next year, I definitely need to bring some Tupperware or something.
You're crazy.
I am crazy.
What's next?
Okay, here's a good one for Shipwreck, because I know he's got an answer for this one. Zero Forte wants to know, what was the shittiest, most what-the-fuck-looking booth or peripheral at E3 this year?
Waterproof controllers.
So was he could play in the bath?
I have no idea. I couldn't bring myself to, like, go up to the booth, just because the guy, I mean, he's looking kind of down. Like, I didn't discover this booth until Thursday, when I was just kind of, like, looking around to see if I missed anything. And I brought Choopy back by the booth. I don't know. He just looked like he was kind of down. Nothing was going his way.
I think next year I'm going to open up a booth for waterproof controllers, but it's just going to be a Ziploc bag that you can put over your controller and you just play through the bag.
What's the next question, Cheech?
All right. Poly Object wanted to know, any input on the Left 4 Dead 2 backlash? This was pretty interesting. I thought that people are upset with Valve for releasing Left 4 Dead 2.
There are online petitions and everything.
And those petitions really make things happen, as history has shown. People have Valve has a reputation of being a company that doesn't milk franchises the way other companies do. So I think people were disappointed with Valve that a sequel that doesn't look like it's much, you know, it's leaps and bounds over the original, is coming out so soon. That they think that this stuff could just be an add-on for the current game, and they're worried that people are going to stop playing the first one and move on to the second one, and you know they're going to have to buy the whole new game. The only thing I really know about is what I've read on the internet. I guess Valve decided they're going to have a game that they're going to milk, and this is going to be it. People like zombies. I don't know. Do you guys care? I mean, are you upset by this?
I wouldn't say I'm upset. I mean, what is it? It's now 5 characters? Or is it still 4? I forget. And, you know, but they're new characters and new weapons, new melee weapons and a chainsaw and 5 new stories as opposed to 4 stories. So it's more than the first game already, which was $60. So why would this be downloaded? You know, it's what would they do? Would they charge $10 per map? Per storyline, and then you've
they're obviously not doing it for free.
That's what I mean. So I don't, you know, it's kind of hard to say, well, what's the alternative? They're not going to release the 5 new campaigns for $10 because they only released 4 on the original disc for $60. So
yeah,
I think maybe they were, I wouldn't be surprised if they were putting something together and when they really realized what they had put together, like, this might as well just be a new release. Similar probably to the Mario Galaxy 2 situation, which also looks really good, by the way, where initially they were going to release Mario Galaxy like 1.5, but they realized they made so much that they were better off and it would probably suit the fans better to just make a whole new game, which they did, and we're probably better off for it. I think in the end we're probably better off for it, but I don't know. For all I know, the game could actually feel and play like a quick turnaround rehash and suck. So who knows?
I think it's all in the timing. Like, if they announce Left 4 Dead 2 next E3, I don't think anybody would have a problem with it.
Right, it's pretty soon.
It's really soon, but I mean, if it's quality, I don't have a problem with it. Of course, I never got around to actually purchasing the first game, so this is a good option for me.
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of run out of steam on the first one anyway. Like, it's fun and all, but there's other stuff I think I'd much rather be playing at this point. There's, you know, so many games come out in so little time. That's
so many games.
PolyObject also wanted to know if Mass Effect 2 is everything that his little heart hopes, wants, needs, and desires it to be. Just say yes. I'm going to say yes. I think the only thing they need to fix with that game is the loading times in the elevators and the frame, you know, the slowdown when the action gets too intense. If they can fix those two things, then they don't need to do anything else.
I feel like I need to go back to Mass Effect and play it again before I play the new one.
I wouldn't mind. Yeah, they're supposed to release new DLC for it.
Yeah, I know. And you know they're releasing new DLC for Saints Row 2, by the way.
They did already.
Well, again, more.
A third pack?
Yes, it's going to be free. They announced it today.
Yeah, because it's the last two were just ripoffs, man.
Man.
Oh, man.
All right.
What did they say? Now I'm curious about the Saints Row 2 DLC.
I don't know. I'm not looking at the article. I'll look it up. You guys keep talking.
Okay. Woodcan wants to know, Cheapy, how is it using the antiquated toilets of the United States for a week while at E3? I'll tell you, my, you know, sometimes when I travel, I have a hard time making duties. I get a little bit backed up. In fact, I was talking to Nick Chester, who's the editor of Destructoid, and he said when he comes to Tokyo for TGS, at least I think the last two times, that he didn't take a shit the entire time that he was here. But this year, I did not have that problem, I think because I drank a lot of water. Anyway, I really could have used the ass wash. I did not feel as fresh back there as I usually do. And I missed it. I definitely miss the ass wash every time I leave home. I need to wash my ass. And I think it was getting a little sore back there. Let's see. Wombat, here's a question for you. Malice207 says, was Wombat satisfied with the amount of coverage on E3 that he doesn't regret so much that he wasn't able to go?
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much got to see everything. There wasn't anything that I missed. It just, you know.
You missed 5-pound lobster.
Well, yeah, but I had my weight in lobster on Sunday, so it kind of balanced out.
You only weigh 5 pounds?
Yes. It was so funny because I was sitting there and I had the baby on my lap and the baby's eating a banana. And I was right next to the guy and the guy's like, would you like more? And he shelled my lobster for me because I had the baby. So it was basically like this endless feeding of pre-shelled lobster. It was a little,
that's pretty awesome.
It was a little decadent even for me, but it was still kind of cool.
That is pretty cool. Wow, I have a lot more questions. Wait, I got a funny story. Maybe it's not that funny, but I'll tell you. Since I brought up Destructoid, we went to this went to the Destructoid party. Actually, we went to every of those community parties that were around. We went to the Kotaku party, the Destructoid party, and the Joystick party. But at the Destructoid party, this guy comes up to me, and he's like, "Hey, Cheapy, blah 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 blah." Start talking. And he's like, you know, how's the trading system? How's the trading system come along? You know, are you going to have, he starts asking me questions about the trading system. He's like, oh, are you going to be able to buy games from people? And I'm like, yeah, you know, the trading system is going to be awesome. We've, you know, it's been in development for a long time. You're going to be able to do everything. It's going to be great. It's going to be, you know, it's being designed to be the best thing out there. And the guy's like, uh-huh. And then the guy introduces himself to me, and it's the guy who owns Dawdle, which is maybe a site you never heard of, but it's a game trading, not a game trading, it's like a gamer's marketplace, like half.com. So I basically spent like 10 minutes telling the guy how I'm going to make it so even less people visit his site. So it was sort of awkward after that. I wouldn't have done that if I knew that he was, I would have sort of downplayed how awesome it's going to be.
I found the information on the Saints Row 2 stuff.
Oh, yeah. Lay it on me.
It's the uncut pack. It's just a bunch of new clothing and tattoos. It comes out on Thursday, and it's free.
Sucks. Okay.
It's free,
but who cares?
You do.
Let's talk. Okay, let's do some multi-platform. Let's go over some other stuff, and then maybe if I feel like it or if we feel like it, we'll go back to take some of the questions from Twitter. So this will be the multi-platforming section of the show. We can talk about stuff that we saw at E3 and stuff that we're also playing now that we're back from E3. Did we mention Bayonetta at all on that show, Shipwreck? I don't think so, right?
No, we saw that after that show.
After that show. So we did get to see Bayonetta, a demo of that. Bayonetta is basically Devil May Cry with so much style, like crazy Japanese style, that it makes Devil May Cry look like it has no style whatsoever. And Devil May Cry was sort of known for having style. But you get like the Megaton.
Is there any
Gigaton
style in these games?
Style. Like crazy style. Like,
so wait, it has
Japanese
the guy
crazy
from Teen Wolf in it?
Not styles.
Oh, I see.
So, I mean, that looks pretty good, but I don't know.
It looked crazy.
It looked crazy, like weird.
You're running on any surface you can run on, like walls, ceilings. It didn't look like it mattered, and there was just all kinds of crazy stuff coming up on the screen, and they asked him about, like, what all that stuff meant. They pretty much just kept on answering, well, we thought it was fun.
Right.
So.
And she has a nice ass, and she walks. That ass walks. I've never seen an ass quite move like that. in a
game
before.
Well, what's the final verdict there? APB or Bayonetta?
APB has the best ass. APB has the most realistic asses, female asses. Ship and I saw a demo of APB, which was probably the game I was most looking forward to until they announced that it's only coming out for PC, at least for now. And they really show the character customization of that. And they, as part of that demo, they showed a woman in her underwear. And that was really the first time that I saw a woman in a video game that looked like a real woman or a woman that I might want to masturbate to. Now, I didn't masturbate during the demo, but I thought that, you know, if I was in the comfort of my own home, that not only would I want to play as a woman because it could really look like a woman, but, you know, maybe I would, you know, jerk off to her. Probably, maybe not. Maybe that's wrong.
Shipwreck, on the other hand, made sure to dick sneeze all over the guy they're giving the demo.
So, I don't know. I was pretty disappointed about APB, that it's not coming to 360 at least anytime soon. But definitely top grades for asses, APB. We even tried
to
download
the hell
like,
is
the
on
media.
My leg? Sir, put on your pants.
We tried to download the media pack for APB just to see if we could find any screenshots or video of the asses, but they did not put it in there for some reason.
That was an oversight on their part.
They even had, when you went to the APB demo room, the behind closed doors demo room, they had women waiting there who are heavily tattooed with giant cans, with big tattoos on the cans.
Cantoos.
Looks like it. Cantoos. Looked like it was very, very painful. Oh, and when we, speaking of Double Dragons, when we ate lunch one day, we were on the checkout line with Veronica Belmont.
Cheapy flipped his badge over so she couldn't tell who it was.
Really? I would have so introduced myself.
No. Definitely not Double Dragons.
Which is fine, but really you hid from her?
I don't need that grief.
You already had it enough from the African American population of Los Angeles.
That guy who talked to me was very nice about it, and most people would just have walked by and not even said anything. But the fact that the guy even took the time to bring it up to me, I thought was really commendable. Rather than me going back to my hotel room later and seeing on Twitter, "Hey, I saw GPD," and I didn't say anything to him, which is I saw a lot of that. You know, so anyway. What other multi-platform things do we want to talk about? We saw Overlord 2, which looked like if you liked the first game, you would enjoy that.
There's a demo of that on Xbox Live now.
Okay, so you should check that out. That was like one of the two games that I think I actually played, one of the three games I actually played during the show, because the guy made me put it right in my hands, made me play it. What else here do we want to talk about, Ship or Wombat?
We had that meeting with Telltale to look at Tales of Monkey Island, which that looks like it's going to be a good game. I mean, it's another point-and-click adventure. It looks humorous.
Yeah, it looks like they're doing a really good job on that one. I've never played that game before, but I'm a big fan of like old-school adventure games, so I would consider if that... It's coming to Xbox 360, right?
No, that one's... You're thinking of the one by LucasArts. That's the remake of Secret of Monkey Island.
Oh, my God.
This one's coming for PC and Wii.
Oh.
And they also hinted that they're working on Mac versions of their games as well.
Okay. I get very confused. Why there's two Monkey Island games coming out? Come on. What am I, a god? I can remember all this stuff?
Yes. Yes, you are.
I am a god. I'm a weed god. Mm-hmm. I smoked so much weed that week that I think I'm still high. I think it's like inside my, it's a permanent part of my DNA now.
Probably.
What else? Oh, let's talk about some of the games that we're playing now. I mean, when I got home, when I came back to Tokyo, I had two games waiting for me. And one of them was Red Faction Guerrilla, which is a game that just came out.
I have that game.
Wombat has it. Ship? No.
No, sir, not yet.
No, sir. I got to the second area, to Dust.
Okay, so have I. So we're actually almost in the same. I'm probably a little further than you.
You're probably a little further, but the game is a lot of fun. It seems like it's very well done. It's a little difficult playing it after Infamous, because Infamous is so incredibly polished and so good-looking. And not to say that Red Faction isn't, but it's not at the same level as an Infamous. And
plus, you
are on
Mars. Do you find
Mars,
yourself getting the games a little confused though at times because they're sort of similar?
They're open world games.
You're both you're both the only one who can save the world. You're both either the hero or the not so heroic.
But they did a really nice the destruction play. You know, destruction of the environment plays a huge role of the game, and they did such an incredible job with it. I mean, it's definitely the best of its kind.
Oh no, it's great. I've had some really funny moments in that game too with the ability, the fact that you could really destroy everything. I was rescuing a couple of hostages from a building, and I go and I walk up the stairs, and I'm inside a building, and there's a dude with a gun, and I have my hammer in my hand, and I figure I'll swing and hit the guy with the hammer. And you could swing the hammer in multiple directions. You could either swing it left and right or up and down, depending upon the trigger you pull. And me not paying too much attention, I pulled the wrong trigger, and I swung down as opposed to swinging to the right. And I hit the floor instead of the guy, and the floor collapsed. I fell down to the first floor. The guy also fell down to the first floor. And then a big chunk of concrete lopped him on the head and killed him, and I was able to rescue the hostages and run home.
The game is totally crazy like that. And there's just so many, because you can totally destroy the environment, when you go on these different missions, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can, you know, accomplish the goals. And it's pretty cool that, you know, if you want to be a little sneaky, which is probably the way that you're supposed to do all these missions, is, you know, you walk around to a wall, the back of the base, and you put a big hole in the wall and walk through.
I tend to drive into everything. I'm like, oh,
or
I
you
gotta
can drive
go in
through
there.
The wall.
I'm just gonna drive into it.
Yeah, you can do that too because you can take some of the vehicles are really big and you can just crash through walls. It's just a really fun open world game. Everything about it is fun, and it's another winner from Volition.
Yeah,
the guys of Volition.
It is. It's a lot of fun. I mean, that's the name of the game with this game. Yes. Is fun. My only complaint with the game right now is that I die a lot.
Me too. I die a lot. One of the things I just did, and I think it's helping me a lot, and maybe you should do this too, Wombat, if you haven't already, is that you can customize the controls. And I moved the zoom for the guns to the left trigger, like Call of Duty, instead of relying on pushing in the stick.
Yeah, but
really
now
helps a lot.
But now when you want to swing the hammer in two directions, how do you do it?
No, same thing. Doesn't I don't
oh, it
think,
doesn't. I guess
it only works with guns.
Yeah, it's true. Huh.
Yeah.
I will get.
You should do that. It helps a lot.
Yeah, because I guess when you have guns, you don't use the left trigger for anything.
For melee. It's the melee.
Oh, it's
so you're basically swapping
button.
The melee.
Yeah, which I use a lot because I tend to get too close to people.
So you use the stick for that. Anyway, that's just a recommendation. Shipwreck also gave me, from you, Wombat, right?
Yeah.
Sacred 2?
Yes.
Haven't played it yet, though.
Oh, it's fun. Shipwreck finished it. You could talk about it.
Yeah, I finished it. It takes about, if you do hardly any side missions, it takes 30 hours to finish. It is a large game. Like, I got done, and I had seen just under 30% of the whole map. I would kind of liken it to WoW for consoles, almost, except it's not... It doesn't have the MMO stuff as much. Like, you can go on and, like, play co-op with people, but it's not like you have to, so you can go through the whole game single player, which is what I did. But,
well, it's kind
lots of
Diablo-y.
Loot drops. Yeah, well, yeah, Diablo 2. Lots of loot drops. You've got your epic mounts that you can get. Like, lots of cool creatures to fight. It's got pretty much no story whatsoever. Like, I got done with the game and went, all right, I have no idea what just happened.
I believe the story is follow the gold arrow on the map, I think is the story.
Right. Like, every person you meet in the game, like, not every, but probably 85% of the people you meet in the game has a quest for you of some sort. Whether that's just, like, going to, like, pick up, like, 10 bear hides and bring them back, or whether it's, like, go rescue somebody, or... any of the standard type missions. But I had a lot of fun with it. I have 3/4 of a review written for that one. So,
that's your style.
Yeah, I played most of it. I played most of it. I didn't get a chance to finish it because I got Red Faction and Infamous around the same time. But I really enjoyed what I've played of it also so far. I mean, it is a loot whore's paradise. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm playing...
Plus,
yeah,
I'm a robotic
just, you know.
I'm a robotic Anubis.
Yes, you're playing awesome. As a robot dog man, and I'm playing as a chick who wears a bikini all the time and has the head of a dead bear strapped to her belt. So, yeah, there's bear a little belt. Something for everybody in this game.
Very cool.
And she throws ninja stars. Have I mentioned that?
Can you play two players on the same system?
Yes, but it's,
I think so.
But it's very hard to see. Like, Mrs. Ship and I tried to play that because we like to play through these type of games together.
Yeah.
But once we saw like how long of a game it was, and you don't have any control of the camera zoom when you're playing on.
Okay.
Like you'd get used to it later in the game because you usually like once you're used to the game you zoom the camera all the way back out so you can see everything anyway. But starting out, it was a little bit confusing, and there's a lot of stuff to learn as far as, like, what effects, like, you have jewelry, and you can wear the jewelry, or you can put it into your swords, or you can put it into your armor, or there's, like, 6 or 7 different categories of stuff that have some sort of effect.
Got it.
So, okay. It takes a little while to get the hang of.
My prediction is that sometime probably in like mid to late July, early August, when there's nothing else out, this game's going to probably wind up dropping in price a little bit. And that's what I'm going to say. If you're looking for something to play while you're waiting for the things you're looking forward to come out, this is probably going to be your game.
All right. Let's move on to Microsoft, and we'll go over some news that was announced at E3 and you know anything else that I feel like talking about. We talked about Project Natal, and it looks like now Microsoft is saying that they're going to use Natal, the camera, for AAA titles, not just, you know, sort of budget types games. So it says, oh, here it goes. It says, we'll have games that are specifically designed to work only with Natal, not just arcade games, but real hardcore AAA titles. Then you'll have some games that are essentially a hybrid, games that work both with the controller and with Natal. Why is that interesting? Think about a first-person shooter where I'm using the controller, but I'm doing facial tracking just by moving around and looking around corners. That's like what you said, Wombat. Did you read this?
No, I did not. I'm just on the cusp.
All right. You're a trendsetter.
I am.
I didn't even know that this was announced. Was this announced during the press conference, and I just sort of conked out during it? But that Microsoft is going to be releasing full retail 360 games on Xbox Live for download.
Yes, and they're going to sell them for cash monies, not mystery points.
That was during the actual press conference?
No, that was the press conference that happened after the press conference.
Okay, because I don't remember them announcing
that. We did not see this at E3.
Games on demand, I guess they're calling this. Now, they say... Now, first of all, didn't we mention this on a past CADcast, Wombat, that somebody told me that this was happening? Didn't I mention this as a rumor that's going to be true?
Yes.
And then they also said that there's no plans to sell new releases on Xbox Live. It's only going to be games out of the back catalog. And I think I said this over, you know, several shows ago, that I heard that this is not true. That I heard that they are going to be releasing new release games and that... That new Halo OSDT, whatever four letters
it
is.
I think it's ODST.
I don't know what it is, because whatever. That's going to be available on the service on day one.
Bad.
So we shall see what happens. What else, Microsoft? Oh, I checked out the 1 versus 100 beta yesterday.
Did you get in the game?
That is awesome.
Best in show beta. The way they do it is there's the real game where there's like a real mob and there's a real, you know, and you can win real prizes. And then there's like the extended play thing where you can just jump in anytime and everybody gets to play and all that. So that's what I got into.
Okay. See, I was in we turned it on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And they had a live one going.
Yeah.
And both me and Mrs. Ship, like, we're going to be addicted to this thing. She's like, as soon as we started playing, she's like, well, there goes our Friday and Saturday nights.
Oh, really? I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I'm being serious.
You guys are boring, though. You don't even smoke weed.
Yeah, we're boring. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Like, we ordered we don't have it right now, but when we lived up in Columbus, we ordered the Game Show Network. Like, we ordered a whole separate tier of cable channels just so we could watch the Game Show Network.
Wow.
So this is right up our alley. It's fun. Like, I would have, if they were handing out prizes, I think I would have won, I think, two Xbox Live Arcade games and I want to say 1,000 Microsoft points.
Wow, you did that well?
I'm pretty good at trivia, yeah. Especially, I was up, like, as soon as I got done with the live, there was an extended play one that was all E3 questions.
Oh.
And at one point, I was 7th out of nearly 100,000 people.
That's pretty impressive.
Like, somebody actually recognized my gamer tag and sent me a message on Xbox Live Arcade.
Wow, that's cool.
So I'm digging it, yeah. I can see how, like, you'd want to, like, I don't know, like, get new outfits and everything and, like, for your avatar. Like, this is the first thing I can see. Like, you want to, like, stand out from the crowd.
Right.
I'm looking forward to playing it. I just haven't had a chance.
In case you're wondering, for our international listeners, how the region locking works for this, it's based on your console. So if you have a Japanese console and an American Xbox 360 Xbox Live account, you won't be able to get in. It checks the region of your disk, of your disk drive, and that decides if you can get in or not. In case you're wondering, it usually comes up. Let's move on to Sony. We talked about how they had the best booth. Shipwreck, did you get Infamous or just you, Wombat?
Just Wombat.
Just Wombat. Okay, so...
I was at E3. I didn't have time to play that.
Well, I mean, I was at E3 too, but I played it the last two games. I'm having a hard time putting it down because, it's so much fun. It's so well done.
It's a great game. It's a really good time. And
how far are you?
I'm in the middle of the second island.
Okay. I think you might be a little bit ahead of me. I just got the megawatt power. The triangle, when you shoot triangle, hit L1 and triangle. That one.
Okay. Yeah. I know that one. Like, there's so many different things. Do you have the floaty one
yet? You don't have that. You probably don't have it yet.
I don't think so.
I'm ahead of you.
I think you are. I'm like, wait, triangle?
No, he has the R1 and circle power.
Right. I don't know.
There's like, yeah, are you blue or red,
shock
by the way?
Oh, I'm a good guy. I'm always a good guy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's really polished. It's amazing. You know, what they did for this game, because it's a big part of the game, is being able to jump like off a building and then land on a light post. They made the controls so that like you're sort of like magnetic in a way. That your guy will like sort of stick to objects, but they did a pretty good job with it to not make it, you know, too obvious that that's what it's doing. You know, you will get stuck on stuff from time to time. You'll be trying to drop down on something and you'll keep sticking to ledges, but they did, I think, the best job that they could with it. And it makes the game more fun than it detracts from it. The powers are a lot of fun. It's always fun zapping people. The graphics are just, you know, are awesome. It's a really strong PS3 exclusive title.
Yeah, they did a really good job with it. So, if you have a PS3 and you don't have this game, then what's your problem?
Right. It's a must buy game.
It is a must buy for the PS3. And yes, the only issue I would say with the game is that those bad guys have the best aim of any villains in any game ever made.
Yeah, it's pretty silly. These guys are shooting you with like a machine gun from, you know, 5 blocks away on the top of a skyscraper.
And they hit you in the head every time.
Right, you can't even see them. That is a little silly, but I guess, you know, otherwise you'd have nothing to do when you're walking around. It's a lot of fun. I want to go play it like as soon as I'm done. It's one of those games that you just want to go back and play at all times. You know, like I want to go play it as soon as I'm done recording this, but I can't cuz I got to edit this. It's fun unlocking all the different powers and stuff. I don't know if I would play through it a second time to be a bad guy and get the different powers. I'm not sure. There's just too many other games that I probably want to play, but it's great. Also, speaking of PS3 exclusives, we did play Uncharted 2 at E3. Chip and I played co-op at E3, and I also tried out the Uncharted 2 beta when I got home, the multiplayer, you know, competitive beta. Although you can play co-op, I think, on the beta as well. For me, you know, I love Uncharted. I thought that, you know, I think that's definitely one of the best PS3 games out there, the first one. But, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, and I think Chip and I talked about this, so he agrees with me, that the best part of Uncharted is sort of the single-player experience, you know, the story and the personality of the character you're controlling, the whole cinematic aspect of that. And you certainly lose all that when you play multiplayer. So I'm not sure how much I'm really looking forward to playing multiplayer. I played like two rounds of the competitive beta, and I turned it off because I was like, all right, yeah, this is fine, but I don't think I'm really going to play it when it comes out.
Well, G4 named it their best in show for E3, Uncharted 2, and they based their opinion almost solely on the single-player game, which they may have had more time with than you did.
So, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, me neither. So I'm sure just saying, your fears may be unwarranted.
No, I'm not worried that the single player isn't going to be great. I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of, you know, the multiplayer stuff was just they're focusing on a lot. I'm not sure how much mileage I myself personally I'm going to get out of that, because I think, you know, the game was really funny and cute and clever, and you really like the main character, and you lose all that stuff in multiplayer.
I still haven't played the first one.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Wow, you need to play that.
You got to get that. You got to rent that. Why didn't you have that on GameFly right now?
I do. It's always out.
It's because that game still costs $60.
I know. That's ridiculous. Understand why that game is still full price. It should be dropped $20 by now. Damn it.
Also, with regard to Sony, Ship and I were able to go hands-on with the PSP Go at the Sony booth. And I think we were both pretty pleasantly surprised by it.
Yeah, that sucks, because I really didn't want to spend $250 on this thing, but it's really slick. Like, it feels so much better in your hands, and I don't know, it's just really slick. Like, the guy at Sony booth was really nice, too, because we were waiting behind a lot of non-press, the unwashed masses, again, that we hate.
I don't, only Shipwreck hates them. I like them. Except when they're sweaty and they touch me. I don't mind them either.
I just don't like waiting. I don't waiting in lines. Like, right. So, regardless, but the Sony guy saw that we had a media badge, so he like waved us around, and we got to play one that wasn't tethered down, so we actually got to look at it and flip it around and open it and close it and everything. And we played a little bit of Little Big Planet on it, which was good.
It's the first thing that I noticed immediately upon holding it is that it's incredibly light.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it weighs nothing. I mean, we, Ship and I both were making fun of it before we put our hands on it. And then we put our hands on it and we're like, wow, this thing is small and light.
Yeah, it's just priced wrong. Like, $250 is too much.
The price is just crazy. Who's going to walk into a store and see two objects that play the same games and buy one that costs almost $100 more?
Yeah, but I think Shipwreck's going to buy it. I got a feeling.
Yeah, I'm going to get one. I mean, I bought a DSi too, so I'm going to get one.
Right. This is definitely, in terms of design, what's that?
How big is the hard drive?
16 gigs?
16 gigs.
That is a pretty big hard drive.
I think it's a flash drive, actually, right?
Yeah, it's a flash drive. But
it's definitely a bigger change than the, you know, from the DS Lite to the DSi. It's definitely bigger.
The controls are better on this too than the PSP. Like, not only the way you hold your hands and everything, but it just feels nicer. Like, the analog stick is in a good position in regards to the D-pad. Like, it almost seems like they've kind of said, okay, not many people actually use the analog nub. They're going to use the D-pad for most stuff. So they've kind of like scooted that over to the right, which, like, I don't know. It just feels a lot nicer.
It just feels right. Let's move on to Nintendo, I think. We talked about that other stuff.
Oh, did you want to give away those beta codes somehow?
Yeah. How many beta codes do we have for Uncharted 2?
We have 10 Uncharted 2 multiplayer betas.
Okay. And so to win an Uncharted 2 beta code, all you have to do is post in the CADcast discussion thread. But you have to post a comment with regards to the show. You can't, you know, don't just write, I want to win an Uncharted beta code. You have to post some sort of relevant comment to the show, to this episode of the CADcast. That's it. Is that a good entry vehicle?
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah, they also need to put in there that they want one, though, because we don't want to be PMing a ton of people and then find out they don't want them.
Oh.
Or they already have them.
Okay. Okay. Here's the secret.
Just mention it somewhere in there.
Here's the secret entry. You have to put an asterisk somewhere in your post. And then that will be the clue that you want a beta code. All right, let's move on to Nintendo. Hoo-ha, let's start right off with a question from Hoo-ha for you, Wombat. Has Nintendo done enough this E3 to win you back?
They had a really nice showing with some good stuff there with the Super Mario Brothers Wii, which actually I think looks really cool. And, you know, I enjoyed Super Mario Galaxy, even if I never finished it. So I'm interested in Mario Galaxy, too, because I am a fan of Yoshi. So that is also very cool. And Metroid, made by Team Ninja, that's kind of wacky. So
they did have a lot of games that would appeal to the core audience, as people call it. Everybody had a good press conference this year. Nobody, I mean, yeah, of course, Nintendo had to bust out another ridiculous piece of white plastic with that the pulse taker, the vitality meter.
Yeah, I mean, but do you really want to play games silly with something like that in your pants?
I don't think it's for your wiener, Wanda.
Oh.
It should be. Look, that would be the first to buy an object like that, you know. I've been saying that, you know, we need something that you can put your dick in for your video games. But that's not it. It's too small, Wombat.
Not for you.
Not for you. We did play. Ship and I both played Super Mario Brothers Wii. Is it new Super Mario Brothers Wii?
It is new Super Mario Brothers.
New Super Mario Brothers.
We both played that, and I think we both agreed that it was more fun than we thought it would be.
It's very competitive. Like, you instantly start trash talking while you're playing it.
And you want to grab all the coins and, you know, eat people with Yoshi and spit them out and, you know, try to step on people's heads. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I'm not going to buy it because I just don't have people to. It's, you know, it's only going to be fun if you play with, you know, other people. And the opportunities that I have to play with other people are slim and none, basically. So it's not a purchase for me. But if I was in college or something, I think that this game would be a lot of fun. We did have fun. Shipwreck 1 when we all played together.
Of course.
Of course. What else Nintendo do we want to talk about? There was a very long line for Zelda Spirit Train.
Spirit Tracks.
And that one too. Spirit Tracks. Soul Train. Zelda Soul Train.
Zelda Soul Train. It's where Zelda has an afro.
That's going to do really well in Japan because they like trains in Japan. They're train crazy.
So it's, what is it, the sailboat is now a train? Is that basically the difference?
I think, I don't know. You're right. I'm not really sure. I don't know anything about it. And Shipwreck, you really liked Muramasa.
Yeah, that one's really good. It's by Vanillaware, the people who did Odin Sphere. Mm-hmm. And it's another 2D brawler type of thing, similar to Odin Sphere. But the controls really make you, like, it makes you feel like a badass when you're playing because it's very simple. You hold down the A button and you move the analog stick in different directions on the nunchuck to do the moves. And just by doing those simple things, your character's flying around screen, just slashing everybody with their sword and like coming down and doing these big, like butt stomp type moves from the top.
Sounds like too human.
And it has really big,
what? Sounds like too human.
Too human. Oh, not really. But I mean, it's 2D. It's 2D, like hand-drawn animation style stuff.
That's the one that I said looked like Legend of Kage, right?
Yeah, that's the one you didn't realize it was a Wii game.
Right, right.
Because it looked good.
It looked good. And you also played Dead Space Extraction, right?
For a few minutes. You watched me play
that.
Yeah,
I got bored pretty quickly.
Well, the demo was a terrible demo because it starts out and it goes through like you just walking around and talking to people. So it took us 5 minutes to find an alien to dismember. And once I had done that once, I pretty much had seen everything I needed to see. It didn't quite live up to the visuals that I kind of thought looked really good during the press conference. I mean, it looks okay for what the Wii is capable of, but and I probably will buy it just because I like Dead Space and I want to go back to that like universe and everything. But I don't know. It's an on-rails shooter.
Right.
Did you guys get to check out A Boy and His Blob at all?
No.
No.
Okay, well then I don't need either of you. What's next?
Okay. Let's see. Let me do a few more questions from Twitter, some E3 questions from Twitter, because I got a huge influx of those. So I will read these to you. This was funny. We both, Shipper and I both laughed at this. Mike Wenner says, did Microsoft cannibalize the Tony Hawk ride potential buyers with a no board needed Natal demo 30 minutes after Ride Spotlight during their press conference? Yeah, we both laughed at that. That was pretty funny. Here Activision is. They put probably a lot of money into developing this skateboard, the Tony Hawk skateboard, which is, you know, it's like $130 or something to buy that thing. And here they go showing Project Natal with...
First thing they show is skateboard.
You don't need a skateboard.
Skateboards, you know, are for losers.
Right. Why spend that? That, it's like, that's just amazing.
No,
like,
one likes to do stuff holding stuff.
Right. Just stand on your, save your carpet. Just stand
just,
on it. You don't
just
need to
stand there and pretend. People love mimes.
Activision must have been fuming mad when that happened. Shipwreck really wanted me to get on that skateboard to embarrass myself, but I refused. I knew I couldn't. I know I cannot do that. I know I am not interested in it. I know I'll be terrible at it. There's no reason for me to try it. Let's see.
I have one quick question here from our friend Desert Eagle / Tech Gaming. He just wants...
He was there. We hung out a lot.
I know. That's why
we ran into him everywhere.
That's why I'm bringing it up. But actually, he has an unrelated question. He just wants to know how we plan on celebrating Father's Day. Are we actually going to be playing games all day and taking the day off, or are we going to go to the park and be dads?
I don't even know when it is.
It's not this Sunday. I think it's either the next Sunday or the Sunday after.
I remember that this year's Mother's Day was pretty uneventful. I forgot what happened, but I remember it was not much. So I have very, very low expectations for Father's Day.
Excellent. I do what I'm told.
Yeah, I'm thinking that it's going to be, I'm not getting a present, and I'm not, nothing's going to happen. We'll go out for brunch probably somewhere.
I like brunch.
I do have my 5-year wedding anniversary is coming up at the end of this month. So I got that going on.
Good luck.
And I, on the way to the airport, on the way home, I went to, I got my man Wilbur. Remember, like 2 years ago, Wilbur, well, maybe I shouldn't have said his name, but Wilbur hooked me up like 2 years ago. He's like an awesome, he's got this black Suburban, drives you around. So I called him, and he took me to Beverly Hills on the way to the airport. And I bought my wife a very fancy piece of jewelry in Beverly Hills. So I think she's going to be pretty happy. Come the end of this month. I'm a big baller.
I see that. I'm not so big in the ball area.
I heard that. I can't even believe they let me into... I went to Cartier. I can't even believe they let me in the store because I was dressed like a homeless person. I thought they would just...
Did you have the sweatshirt on?
I had a sweatshirt on. I had a different sweatshirt on, I think. Yeah, I was waiting for them, for security to come and just say, you know, tell me to get the hell out of there. I'm looking through these other questions and I'm trying to think if we missed anything exciting. I don't think so. I think we covered a lot. I think what we can do is we can tell people if they have any more questions, they can put them in the CAG bag for next week.
Because I'm sure there are things that people want us to talk about that we haven't, you know, and make
right.
And make more fun of motion control, because that's the future.
I don't know. I'm so down on that shit. I just think it's just a way to, they're trying to cock block the Wii. That's all.
It is. No, I don't think that there's any revolution. I don't think that they really do have any plans to really use it for anything extensive other than for what you're saying, and that's to steal thunder away from something. And again, I just don't like to play games standing up. So
right. Waving around is just not precise as holding a controller. The controller works fine. I can navigate that that Xbox 360 dashboard pretty quickly with a controller. I don't think I'll be able to do it as quickly waving my hands around.
Minority Report style.
Pretty quickly.
Well, okay, not quickly. Since the new dashboard, pretty slowly. But that's not because of the controller's fault. It's because there's just inherent lag. But that's nothing that a camera is going to fix.
I think Christina will get upset if we don't mention her in the
Oh, yeah, Christina. Oh, yeah, she had a question via Twitter or a comment via Twitter. Christina works for BioWare. We went out for dinner one night, and she was the demo woman for Mass Effect. And she actually played the game during all the demos, and she was very good. But she is like the lead com. Her title is – she had the best title ever. She is the lead combat designer or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's lead systems designer, but I think she changed it to lead combat designer because nobody knew what the other one was.
She wanted me to acknowledge that she outdrank Shipwreck at Destructoid's party.
We need a ruling on that, though.
Yeah.
Like,
she was definitely more drunk.
But, well, you got to hold it all down, don't you?
Oh, she puked it up later, didn't she?
Right.
Yeah, she's disqualified. She is totally disqualified, but she was very nice, and she did a good job. We're all looking forward to Mass Effect 2. Anything else, Shipwreck, that we need to cover?
I'm good.
Let's really quickly, before we say goodbye, let's quickly talk about the new iPhone 3GS, because Ship and I are both iPhone owners, 3G owners, and Wombat has an iPod Touch. That's like an iPhone without the phone.
And it's not mine.
And it's your wife's?
Yes.
Oh. Are you going to upgrade, Chip?
Oh, no. I usually wait 2 revisions on Apple products.
On Apple products. I mean, the feature for me that I'm interested in the most is the better camera, because the camera now is terrible. And I do like to Twitter a lot and post pictures, and they always look pretty shitty. I have a feeling, though, that my carrier, SoftBank, is going to really try to shove it right up my ass with how much money we have to pay. So I'll have to wait and see. I'm not terribly excited by it, but if it's not a ridiculous price, then I will get it. And a lot of people were wondering why I wasn't Twittering all the time at the show, being that I like Twitter so much. The problem is that I brought my Japanese phone with me, and to use the data there, it costs so much money, and there's no plan that you can get on to make it cheaper. Unlike AT&T, when you travel overseas, you can get like a reasonable plan. My carrier does not offer that, and there's really no Wi-Fi anywhere, you know, that I can. So I really only Twittered when I was back in my hotel room, and there's no way to really rent an iPhone there or anything like that, and I don't know. I wish I could have done more, but I don't really know what the solution is. Look for a lot of Twittering during Tokyo Game Show. However, you'll probably be sleeping during that, so I don't know what to tell you. And I think that about does it for our E3 wrap-up show. We can, if you have, like I said, if you have more questions, put them in the CAG bag for next week. I want to tell everybody to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/cheapyd. Or /wombat5277 or /shipwreck. If you want video game deals, just do /video game deals and you get the CAG video game deals. If you're a Brit or in Europe, UK game deals. And I think that's a show.
I'm ready for bed.
Wombat's ready for bed. Shipwreck is ready to go jump on some 1 versus 100. And I'm ready to not smoke weed for another year. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Arcade Arsenal. RoboCop and Bad Dudes for Nintendo.
Your move, creep.
Part man, part machine. All game. RoboCop.
Stay out of trouble.
The forces of good have never been so bad. If you're bad enough, then you're good enough for Bad Dudes and RoboCop.